And today we're talking with Frank Paskowitz of the Federal Aviation Administration. And Frank, what do you do with the FAA?
I work in the Aircraft Certification Service, and the division I'm responsible for is production and airworthiness, and that encompasses everything from small aircraft like Sport and up to Boeing 787s. So we're responsible for manufacturing oversight, airworthiness certification, and designee activities.
Now, I heard recently you've done a study with light sport certification. What does the study, and what did you find out?
Well, it really evolved from meetings that the FAA has with EAA during the winter months when we're not here at Oshkosh looking at airplanes. And one of the topics that came up was the light sport regulations had been in place for about 4 years. And EAA and FAA both thought it was probably a good time to take a look and see how the manufacturers were doing. Were they complying with the regulations and were they putting out good, safe products? So we decided to do an audit during the following year. So we did that, and we inspected about 30 plus facilities out of 50 plus manufacturers. So it was about two-thirds of them, and we found some interesting data. We found some good things, and we found some areas where they needed improvement.
Are there any general areas that recur in your investigations?
Yes, there were. There was a lot of issues in most of the manufacturers, but nothing directly safety related, so that's the good news. What we discovered was what we expected to be consistent with a new industry, one that was not really accustomed to working in the regulatory environment. So it wasn't surprising, but there were some things that we need to work on out there, and EAA, FAA, and LAMA, U.S. and international, is working with all the manufacturers to try to resolve some of these problems. Would you like to know about what a couple of those areas are?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just generally, there were some educational needs out there with respect to how do you comply with the regulations. The regulation itself is a little bit on the complex side, and there's a series of policies that accompany that. And for new entrants into the aviation business, there's a lot of learning, a lot to weave through, and a lot to understand. So general education of regulation requirements and how to meet them is needed out there, and the associations are working with that, EAA and LAMA. One area that's probably new to all these companies was the requirement to have a quality system, similar but not in scope as far as complexity to a Part 23, some of the aircraft you see out here or a transport airplane quality system. So we saw a lot of weaknesses there. Some of them had them, they were weak. Some of them didn't have them, but they were following what you would expect as far as procedure requirements. Placarding in the fuel areas, it's important to know where the fuel goes, where it doesn't go. The placarding really wasn't well. There's a requirement to distribute safety information to aircraft owners and service bulletins, and that was a little bit on the weak side, so that's something they need to work on. And things of that nature. Again, no direct safety problems, but there were some concerns that if these aren't addressed, that could possibly lead to some safety concerns.
Now, a couple times now you've mentioned LAMA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with that. What is LAMA?
Well, LAMA is the Light Aircraft Manufacturing Association.
Oh, okay.
And they're fairly small with respect to the size of EAA, but they're a very good group, and they're really focused on the light sport aircraft industry.
And what sorts of things do they do for that industry as an association?
Consumer advocates, number one. When there are safety issues that transcend across the industry, they work with the FAA to try to understand what those issues are and what kind of interventions they can put in place to address them. They also work with the standards setting bodies like SAE, ASTM, and even the FAA, working on better regulations and better policies.
So it sounds like there's a few things that the manufacturers aren't quite keeping up on, but it sounds like you're trying to help them become compliant. What sort of things have you actually been able to implement and help them out with?
Well, so far things are pretty new. We issued the report just this May, so there isn't a large quantity of activities out there yet. But, for example, here at AirVenture, we have a series of meetings with LAMA, with EAA, with individual manufacturers to try to explain to them what they need to do to become more compliant with the regulations. It's a really good partnership relationship, if I can use those terms. We understand our role as we're regulators. They understand they have to be compliant. But the best way to get a good understanding of what the regulations are and to achieve compliance is to talk to people, talk to the companies, and have some good, hard discussions on what they need to do with the compliance rules.
And this this event right here seems like it's a fantastic forum to have everybody in one place. You've got educational opportunities in the manufacturing. You've got all the experimental going on. Did it kind of spawn here? Yeah. Initially?
Yeah, it did spawn here. And again, with our first thoughts about doing the assessment came from a meeting with EAA, not at Air Venture. We did, in fact, have a meeting yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock in the afternoon with some of the big manufacturers, and that went well. We're looking at some databases we can put on the internet to share information. There's a meeting going on right now looking at the standards that the aircraft are required to be built to, the engineering standards and the quality standards. And there's another one later today to talk to yet another group of manufacturers and to do, you know, more follow-up activity in a more detailed area. So it really is a good opportunity here at Air Venture to get all the right people who can make decisions, who can make things happen, to get together and talk about moving this business forward.
That all took time off at the same time to to be able to be here, or got their companies to bring them here. So
that's true. This is my time off right here. Speaking.
Is that what it is?
It's my time off.
Yeah, and ironically, I mean, the general public often, I don't think they understand, of course, pilots and enthusiasts that are here know that, but it's the Experimental Aviation Association, but it's really largely a big grounds for manufactured aircraft as well as, you know, these kit planes.
That's true. Yeah, there's about 70 light sport manufacturers today, and there's a few thousand.
And what kind of growth is that from?
Well, we started the audit back in, well, there were none in 2004, you know, none that were certified or approved. They were building certificated light sport aircraft. That's brand new. So there was zero in 2004. In 2008, there was approximately 53 or 54, and there's probably closer to about 80 companies now in the United States and outside of the United States.
So you see steady annual growth?
Steady annual growth. We're projecting at least 100 in another 2 years, and it may hold at around 100 or so. Time will tell. Depends on the demand.
Definitely a growth industry, though.
I would say so.
Fortunately.
Yeah, we need a couple of them
We need some of that in the aviation, well, definitely.
In this economy, we need any growth industry, and this is surely a good one.
And did you notice any difference in your when you're doing your audit from the newer startups who are doing the light sport manufacturers as opposed to the some of the more established companies that are doing the light sports?
As a matter of fact, we did. You know, as I mentioned earlier, this is a new environment for, you know, many of these manufacturers. Many of them are very small, just 3, 4, 5 person shops. The larger companies who had more aviation experience certainly did more, certainly did better than some of the small ones. But the good news is through EAA, LAMA, and these other group settings we have here, they're all working together, sharing information, and it's going to lead to a better, safer system.
And is there, you know, these people are all part of this LAMA organization. Do you see any of collaboration between some of the more established people who are building in the light sports helping out some of the newcomers, or are they kind of a little bit more competitive than that?
Well, there's really two sides to that. When it gets to the sales table, it's competition and it's all about sales. But when it comes to aviation safety, particularly when you come to venues like Air Venture, they do work together. They do work together well. They share information. They give each other ideas. At the end of the day, we're putting people on airplanes and everybody wants to see safe flights. So they do work together quite a bit. And I think that'll improve as even more so as time passes.
Now, you've got, of course, your what I guess, for lack of a better term, tried and true manufactured aircraft that have always been there for the general aviation. Are you seeing strictly new companies, or are we having offshoots of some of the more established with other aircraft that are entering the light sport?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I'd say by and large, it's new companies that are in this business. But in today's economy, I think we've seen companies like Cessna and Piper are now building light sport aircraft. And they certainly have the capability and the capacity to build good airplanes, as they always have. So I think that's a little bit of a competitive edge that they may have over some of the small companies.
Are there any new tricks that the old dogs are having a hard time learning, or is it, like you say, just to give, it's a more lenient certification, or is that not a good word to put on the lights board?
I think it's fair to say that the established aircraft manufacturers are probably on par with some of the new ones, you know, and there are some tricks to be learned, especially when you look at fabrication systems, quality systems, manufacturing processes for large volume production. The larger companies I mentioned earlier, they do have an edge.
And what sort of differentiation is there between our regular Pipers and Cessnas and some of the new light sports that are coming out there?
Well, let's see. The new ones coming out are a little bit more complex, but they do have to meet the requirements of the standards, which are basically simple airplanes. But they're a little bit more complex. They're pushing the envelope with respect to technology. But then there's the other end of the spectrum, too, where people are still coming up with simple designs and simple aircraft.
Now, for somebody who might not be exactly familiar with some of the light sport things, what are some of the requirements to be in the light sport category that would differentiate from your traditional certification of a normal non-light sport aircraft?
Right.
Okay, well, there's two big differences. In it's called Part 23, and that's small airplane regulations. There are regulations that require design approvals, which is quite extensive with respect to the FAA reviewing designs, meeting regulatory design standards. There's a lot of testing that takes place in the regular commercial business. They have to have production systems, they have to have quality systems, they have to have inspected workforce, supplier control network, etc. You really don't have to have that level of detail in the light sport world. So it's a couple things. It's a smaller, simpler, lighter, slower aircraft, simple to operate, day VFR, versus the Part 23, which we fly in commercially, or a 747 transport airplane. So there's quite a significant bit of differences, and those are the major differences.
Now, what about, say, kit planes and experimental aircraft in the light sport industry? Is there...
Well, kit planes, do you mean amateur-built aircraft?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a whole other area, too. Amateur-built aircraft, like light sport, you don't have to have the design approval. You don't have to have the production approval. It's an airplane you can build by yourself. You can buy a kit aircraft that's produced by a manufacturer. You can have a commercial assistance, but with amateur-built aircraft, the difference there is the person who's the amateur builder has to build 51% of the airplane. That's the difference there.
That's the 51%.
51%. Well,
and that's the
regulations say major portion. That's universally interpreted to mean 51%.
Majority.
Light sport aircraft, you don't have to build anything. You can just buy the airplane.
Well, just like you could buy a production airplane also. But if you're building a light sport versus building a just a regular... non-light sport airplane, the 51% rule applies to both of those equally, correct?
51% does not apply to the light sport. There are models of light sport aircraft that are also sold as amateur builds. In that case there, the amateur builder needs to build the major portion or the 51% of the airplane.
Okay.
And is that typically a smaller, shorter project than the... standard kit plane that people want to get in and fly but end up, you know, working on for a few more years than they intend to? Well, you say it's a simpler aircraft, so is that something that can maybe circumvent that problem?
There are some simple aircraft that take up to, you know, between 500 and 1,000 hours to build. They're called quick builds. And there are some other ones that take a couple of years, and some of them are out here today. So it depends on the aircraft, depends on the talents and the skills of the amateur builder, how long it takes to buy it, to build it.
Well, if somebody wanted to come and discuss these issues or any other issues with you, where on the field could they come and ask you which light sports are the most compliant and which ones are working very hard to become the most compliant?
Okay. Well, number one, that's proprietary information, you know, which company did a little bit better than the other one, so we're not going to get into that level of detail, but anybody can contact me. It's Frank Paskowitz, to go to the FAA building and go to the aircraft certification booth, and they all know who I am. They can contact me.
And if you're here on the field and somebody wants to come and talk to you this week, where might they find you?
I'm going to be anywhere and everywhere. The best way is to contact me through the FAA building. I'm up and down. I'm from one end to the air show to the other.
All right. Well, this is Wireless Mike, and we have been joined with
Frank Paskowitz.
Frank Paskowitz, thank you.
And I'm Magneto Mel. And thank you very much for being here with us today.